You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 1013. We've got a fabulous guest with us. We've got Leslie Hall with us, the CEO of Servobolt, one of the leading quality WordPress hosting providers in Europe, based, in, I think, in Oslo. But they're a distributed company. Their people are everywhere. Should be a great discussion. Leslie, thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show. I've been looking forward to this discussion.
My pleasure.
And I've got my great co-host with me, Kirk. Kirk, would you quickly like to introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers?
Sure thing, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own a company called Manana No Mas, and we also work directly with the great team over at WP Tonic. And if I could be so bold, Jonathan and I have volleyed your name back and forth before going live. Is it Lossie? Lassie? How should we be saying this name?
Yeah, so if I'm saying it in the proper Nordic way, it's Lasse. But most Americans they say Lasse because of the E, but it's Lasse or Lasse. That would be the the proper pronunciation. So it's just it's a silent E at the end there.
So I won't be shot in some Lassie. Right,
it's always difficult with names, especially, it is what it is.
Yeah, it should be a great show. We're going to be discussing Lassie's background, why he decided to become the CEO of Servobolt. We're going to be talking about the fragmented hosting market and how Servobolt can find its niche. We're going to be talking about private equity as well. We've got a ton of things to discuss. It should be a great show. But before we go into the meat and potatoes, I got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. I want to point out this show is brought to you by the support of our sponsors, so go over and support them. And by the way, we've got some great special offers from the sponsors, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services for you, the freelancer and small agency owner. You can find all these free goodies and the special offers from the sponsors by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. You'll find all the goodies there, my beloved tribe. What more could you ask for? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. So let's go straight into it, Leslie.
Sure.
So you've got extensive business background, and then you become the CEO of Servobolt. What attracted you to the company and the challenges that have probably come with that decision?
Yeah, good question. So my background is a bit unusual for a hosting CEO, as I understand. I played ice hockey for a good number of years as a professional hockey player. Also was on the, love it, Kurt. I was on the national team for Norway in juniors and what that does to you is it wires you for performance under pressure as a hockey player. Team dynamics, the mindset, the talent without execution means nothing. So and after hockey, I went into fintech. I was in banking for a number of years, finance, and also management consulting. So I co-founded two fintech companies back in the day, scaled them across 9 countries, built them close to 100 people. I also led a vertical at a consulting firm where I which I co-own, and that was also quite successful. So I've been in high growth and high pressure environments my whole career. Serbolt came to me in early 2025. The founder, Ireland, built something I think was genuinely exceptional from a technology standpoint. And one of the fastest managed WordPress and PHP platforms in the world. But the business needed a kind of different leadership, different direction, needed a commercial motion, structure, and kind of a clear path to scale. So that's exactly, the kind of challenge I love and like, and what's been driving me for X number of years. So I took the CEO role, in Feb 2025 and been rebuilding from the inside ever since. And I think, what's coming in the future for us, I think it's I'm extremely bullish for. So that was kind of a little bit of a background and why I'm here.
Are you based in Norway yourself, or is it Dubai?
So it's my main space is Dubai, but there's a war going on, and so I'm mostly now in Norway. So it's I think that's a good thing to be, Life is normal in Dubai at the moment. I don't think there's lots to be worried about in that perspective. But yeah, I don't want to take any chances. Who knows?
Over to you, Kurt.
Well, I think the whole interview just took a wild turn here, Jonathan, because I'm really interested in this hockey background. So I played defense throughout high school, and apparently I have a big dog.
Yeah, you have. It's huge.
He does. I've
beast. We got a delivery. I'm sorry. They always seem to come to our podcast. So I played hockey. I also played soccer till I was 29 years old, and I raced motorcycles professionally, like all over the United States. And what you said, I think, is so like paramount to a lot of entrepreneurs. Like, once you're in a space, whether it's a team sport or like an individual team sport, like everyone thinks racing is like this individual thing, but there's a team behind you. There's a pit crew, a travel crew, a logistics crew, a sponsorship crew. There's all that stuff. I just got to know, like, how much of that sports driven, Jonathan's heard me say this, right? I'm like, we have two options. We can fail or we can succeed. Like, I'm not going to work towards failure, right? We got to work towards success. How much do you think your sports background played in your pathway professionally?
100%, like everything. My team, the mentality of being, you're in. Well, you play hockey, so you know, and it's like you're just one player out of 20 guys that's there. If you have two guys that's dragging their heels or having a bad attitude or just not performing at the level, the entire team falls and you're gonna lose that game. I know that I'm just a piece of the puzzle. I'm the CEO and I take decisions and all that good stuff. But there's a team here. And if the team is not performing, I'm not performing. So and looking back, it's about building hockey teams with different angles, you have different roles that you need to perform, and you need that across any business. No one can be the same. You know, that's why all-star teams never work, because they're just used to getting the puck, you know, feeded to them, and they have one shot and that's it, and they score a goal. But if everyone is that one shot guy,
yeah,
you'll lose, because he's not going to do that. He's not never going to do that grunt work in the corners.
Yeah, I find the whole thing fascinating, because especially the culture in the United States corporately now is very touchy feely emotions. How do you feel today? Well, you know, and, yeah. And there's a resonance with me that's like, this, we're here to win.
That's not my impression of American corporate.
Yeah. And you know, I'm not gonna, you know, use the F word here, but I'm in your face 100%. And I think, you know, to win you need to be thick skinned. And I'm a pretty decent nice guy and so on, but I'm demanding. I like direct language. Yeah. If things are not working, I'll tell you, and I'll tell you why. And if you can't handle that, sorry, you know, maybe you could go, you know, work somewhere else, because yeah. That's what we need. I think, you know, this touchy feely stuff, that's fine for people that just want to manage stuff, but if you want to win and you want to be in a high pressure environment and you want to make stuff happen, you want to do you know, great numbers, you want to scale, you want to all that good stuff, I'm sorry, but if you can't handle the shit, you can't handle the good stuff either. So
yeah,
you know, that's my kind of a easy approach to that one. You know, and bringing back the hockey teams, like, you know, I've you know, can't count the amount of times people have been screaming at each other and telling people to step up, and you know, most likely, you know, 99% of the time it's they need it.
Yeah. No, I agree. So that takes us kind of to another way to ask a question. That's, you know, we work in WordPress, obviously, right? WP Tonic. And so we work in WordPress. We work in hosting. Mañana No Más has hosting. Hosting seems to be like this ever more like fragmented, missing pieces of the puzzle kind of experiment. And so if the market is kind of that fragmented, How do you feel that ServBolt was able to like find a niche, really drill down on it, and then just asking, because you mentioned WordPress and PHP, right? So it was like, obviously there's another level. How important is WordPress to ServBolt, like in the overall picture?
Oh, it's you know, it's massive for us, obviously. I think, you know, the hosting market looks fragmented on the surface, but when you go one level deeper, it's actually quite consolidated. You know, you have a handful of private equity backed platforms own most of the volume, and most of that volume is low end, high churn, commoditized hosting. The niche we play is performance critical workloads, right? So agencies, developers, enterprise, e-commerce, WordPress, people for whom a slow site or a 2 a.m. outage isn't just annoying. It's going to cost them clients and definitely 100% revenue. Yeah. So these customers don't buy on price. Obviously they buy on trust and performance. So I think, you know, WordPress is still dominant CMS on the internet. It powers somewhere around 40% of the web. And that's not going away. But you know, the interesting shift right now is that the most I think valuable WordPress customers, agencies running high traffic, let's say WooCommerce stores, publishers, enterprise teams, they're increasingly unhappy with big platforms, and it's coming, you know, a lot of that information is coming every week to us. They've outgrown shared infrastructure and they need something like, you know, purpose or custom built. And that's what Serbolt is built for. So, you know, WordPress is critical for us, but more, I would say, precisely demanding WordPress users are definitely our market for sure.
As a follow-up to that, because I know your website specifically calls out WooCommerce.
Yeah.
Do you find like these larger WooCommerce sites are the demanding, like dynamic server resource hungry websites, or is there a different type of site that kind of like dwarfs their demand?
Good question. I think, you know, good question. Actually, a question I need to think about a little bit, I think, you know, in terms of the demand, I think there's a lot of things happening in WooCommerce, and I think, you know, they're kind of lagging behind on the direction they're going right now. And obviously they're losing a lot of business to different, other tech.
Yeah.
And we'll probably discuss that a little bit later. But I think, you know, if WooCommerce could, you know, step up their development a little bit, I would say. I don't want to say that lightly because they're, you know, they're definitely moving, but not moving in the right direction. I think, you know, it's a little bit of babble from me on that question. I need to think about that, but yeah.
We can let Jonathan come to the rescue and take over. Jonathan, over to you.
Thank you so much. It's kind of linked in a way in my mind, because lately, obviously, Matt Malweg is having his problems with private equity.
Yeah.
And recently, Liquid Web's decision to consolidate the company and remove a number of brands around plugins. So you've got the question of private equity, which you touched upon, but I want to discuss the private equity. But first, we had a number of hosting companies buy plugins, bundled them either separately or you got them combined with their hosting packages. I was never sure that was I could understand it in some ways, but in other ways, it never totally gelled with me, Leslie. But I suppose on the commodity side of the market, I suppose you are, apart from price, you are struggling. So adding plugins seems attractive, but there always seem to be something missing about it. What's your own views on the plugin side? And then maybe we can touch on the private equity side as well as the second part.
Yeah, well, we don't have any plugins at all. And what we have is more or less an add-on that you can, like, you know, where our tech is custom-built, proprietary tech. We don't have any outsourced admin panels or anything that's coming outside from. So everything is this, you know, built from scratch. And, you know, all success to the plugin people and companies out there that does a good plugin. Fantastic. Good for them. But for us, I think, you know, to have the ecosystem we have and to have the speed we have on our network, it's the more plugins we have into that will just slow everything up, and we don't want to do that. So if you want to have a plugin on your own, be my guest. I guess that's my, you know, response to that. And there's so many plugins out there, so it's we can talk about that for a long time. But I think, you know, having a clean infrastructure is something that people, especially our customers.
I think what you're saying is maybe, and I think you might be correct, but I'm inferring that you might be suggesting this. I got from that answer that in some ways you didn't totally like the concept, even though not solely about the specifics, because Server Bolt is dealing with high performance, high level clients, you know, agencies, whatever.
Yeah.
But the boundary between what a host provides and what the plugins, because you seem to suggest the plugins, some plugins have a performance hit, and they do. So combining the two becomes a little bit messy. I think you were hinting at that a little
bit. That's what I'm more or less saying, is that, you know, some plugins are great, and I'm not taking anything away from anyone. But for us, I think, you know, it's the plugins we do have is custom built for us, and it's not from the outside.
Yeah. So let's look at the private equity. You know, obviously,
that could be a show of its own, to be honest.
Yeah, there's only so much drama I can stand, Leslie. So Matt Marowick, he's having these continuous problems legally and also, and we've had Matt on the show a few times, and we love Matt, and we wish him well. But then you've had this thing with Liquid Web as well. So what's your general opinion about private equity getting into hosting? Do you see it's a positive thing, negative, or a negative thing, or is it a mixed bag, really?
Well, you know, it's definitely, you know, private equity. We have one of the private equity companies that's with Serbolt is one of our investors. And I think it's a fascinating and honestly a bit troubling dynamic at the same time. When you see PE firms rolling up hosting companies and consolidating them under a single P&L, the goal is always the same. It's optimizing margins, right? So reduce costs, you have upsells, and they prepare for an exit. That's what they do. And that's the business model. There's nothing inherently wrong, you know, I think, with that, but it typically leads to the same outcome. You know, service quality degrades, support gets outsourced, product stops innovating, and customers feel it 100%. It's just, you know, they kind of market it as, you know, we're moving in a positive direction, but it's really not. So, and I come from that space as well. So I know the business model in and out. So what it's creating in our market is actually an opportunity. There's a growing segment of customers who specifically don't want to be a PE-owned platform or want to be on a PE-owned platform. And they want a team that actually cares about the product. They want a founder and leadership team that has skin in the game. They want to talk to someone who knows their stack, for example. So in a strange way, the PE consolidation wave has been good for companies like us. And it's definitely driving high value customers towards premium independent platforms like us. And we see that in our pipeline every week. So customers switching from big consolidated players specifically because, quite frankly, they've been burned.
Right. I wouldn't say he's a close friend, but I think Jason Cohen, the founder of WP Engine, would say I was a friend of his. He would, you know, always answer my email and the occasional call. And he seems a great guy, and he's been very supportive. And he's one of them. He's always impressed me with his insights and his down-to-earth attitude. But Kinsta, I've always got on with Kinsta really well. They've supported the show. They've supported the show on four occasions as a major sponsor. But do you think what you've said affects both of those, or is it?
I think it affects both of them. Yeah. Because you're having finance guys coming in and saying, hey, this is not, you need to optimize, you need to do this, you need to do that. And it kind of takes away the innovation of the company but it's all depends on who's at the top, obviously, yeah, of every company. I'm not saying that it's necessarily wrong or bad in any way. It all depends on the trajectory of the PE firm coming in and what they want to do with the company. If that's a 3-year exit, you're in for a shit ride. But if it's 10 years holding, it's much better because they're in for a long run. They're there to build, good standing and good markets and all that good stuff that's needed. But if it's a cash grab in 3 years, I don't think it's going to be a good fun ride for anyone.
All right, thanks for that insight. I think it's a good place for us to go for our middle break. We've got another message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Updating plugins and themes shouldn't feel risky. That's why over 300,000 WordPress users trust WP Rollback. With just a click, you can safely roll back any plugin or theme. No manual file uploads and no downtime. And with WP Rollback Pro, you can download premium plugins and themes. Tools like Elementor, Gravity Forms, more. Track every rollback you do with detailed activity logs. Protect your workflow and take the stress out of updates. Learn more at wprollback.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code PODCAST20. That's PODCAST20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a great discussion with Essie about all things WordPress and hosting and private equity. Before we go into the second half of the show, if you really want to support independent media and you're listening on Spotify or on iTunes, Apple's podcast app, you can leave a review really easily. Good, bad, or indifferent. I want to see those reviews. It does really help us reach a larger audience. So I'm going to throw it over to Kurt for the next question.
Well, I'm like a dog with a bone this morning, Lasse. we're back on the WooCommerce trail.
Yeah.
And I know we kind of put the question up like, competitors like Shopify. But then as an agency owner, I'm on the other side of the coin too, because it's you know, let's just call it out. Like Fluent Cart came out, and Fluent Cart was like lightweight, quick, seemed to be easy to set up. Sure Cart with Adam and his team over at Astra, or the other name, again, lightweight, more of a SaaS platform, but still lightweight, works with Woo, but sure. I mean, works with WordPress. But as an agency, it seems like clients invent these problems or these concerns or these wishes where you end up going, oh, crap, now we got to drive back towards WooCommerce. So we have to do WooCommerce and any one of the multitudes of premium extensions you need to make WooCommerce do what you want it to do. And so for me, I see WooCommerce as this incredibly powerful shopping cart, but I also see it as this thing that nickel and dimes me for every feature I want to add to it to make it function. Yeah. And then, of course, either pass that to the client or upsell that service with the client. But so that's my standpoint. But I mean, when I look at the website for ServeBolt, it's in your face, right? It's fast. And I always see WooCommerce as being this one anchor that can really slow things down. So I was hoping you could give me some insights there.
And in terms of the WooCommerce leaving,
it just seems like I hate to say it like this because we have friends there, but it seems like they're just leaving an opportunity for Shopify, Fluent Cart, Sure Cart to kind of take more of the market away from them, rather than I don't see them doing activities right now that say stay here or don't look somewhere else.
Yeah, I think okay. So I get that question. I think it has a massive identity problem. Right now, it's open source. It's extendable. It runs on WordPress. Theoretically, those are all advantages in my view. But the experience of getting WooCommerce to perform at scale is genuinely is painful, and people are coming back to that. So, hosting dependencies. You have plugin conflicts, performance tuning. Most merchants don't want to deal with anything of that. Nothing. They just want something that works, plain and simple.
Yeah.
Right. So Shopify solved that beautifully. They opinionated, fast, reliable, great ecosystem, and they've eaten a lot of the market that WooCommerce have, previously owned. But where I think WooCommerce still has a real advantage is the flexibility and the cost of ownership at scale. If you're a larger merchant with complex requirements, custom workflows, or you want to, let's say, own your data and your stack, WooCommerce and WordPress give you that option that Shopify won't ever give you.
Yeah.
Never. Right? But for WooCommerce to genuinely compete, I think it needs the whole stack to improve, as I said a little bit earlier, including infrastructure. WooCommerce store on a mediocre hosting is a bad product. Like 100%. So regardless of how good the software is, it's mediocre. And coming back to our stack, it's like when WooCommerce runs on ServeBolt, it's a completely different experience. I'm not marketing that at all. It's physics. And you can test us. Please do.
Jonathan?
Yeah, I think there's another side of this as well, because I know for a fact that Automattic were developing a fully hosted WooCommerce solution, and they were very close to going public with it. And last year, it was decided to bin it, basically. I don't know the precise reasons. I also know that, and I'm only surmising this, is that if automatic went down that route, not with you or with hosting providers that are that offering a performance partnership with agencies, and it caused a little bit of friction with some of the other hosting companies. But in my opinion, I think really automatic should provide a hosted WooCommerce solution for those that you pointed out, because there would still be an enormous amount of business out there for those that grew their business that wanted more customization. So would you object to automatic providing a fully hosted WooCommerce solution?
I think, you know, it's I think honestly, you know, if they have that and you know, it's you know, and I'm not talking against my own market here, but I think from e-commerce store owner, if I were in their shoes, that would kind of take the nail out of the the pain will go away, right?
Yeah, I see potentially. I want to move on to AI. Obviously, we got some major with OpenAI and coming to the market in North America, and we've seen a lot of SaaS companies under the share price being under a lot of pressure recently. I personally don't know how all this is going to work out. I think you've got to really take it on an individual basis, because some of these SaaS companies have got a strong moat around them, others not so strong. So I've personally think you've got to take it on a case by case. But in general, I think in some areas AI it has been it's just got on the verge of propaganda. But when it actually comes to coding and certain specific areas, I think AI definitely has established that it's going to be changing the market. Like I say, in coding, I think it is and has changed the market. I see this as an enormous possibility for WordPress, because the boundary between buying a SaaS product and being limited with what it offers and not being able to afford a custom solution, I think those barriers are breaking down to some degree.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that statement? What's your own views about AI and where we find ourselves in the middle of 2026?
Yeah. Difficult. You know, it's a big question, obviously, and there's so many changes happening every day and every week, and we can probably talk about this for quite some time. But I think AI is the most significant platform shift we've seen since the mobile came out. And most people in the WordPress space are either panicking, because there are a lot of people panicking now, or you're not paying enough attention to it. So it's you have both camps, right? The honest reality is that there's a lot of generic content sites, thin SaaS products, templated agency work. It will get compressed. AI can produce that output now and super fast, right? So you don't need that industry at all, and you'll be disrupted. It's just what it is. So if you're, you know, your value proposition as a developer or agency is volume-based content or templated builds, I think you need to move, and you need to move quickly. But I think, you know, there's a flip side. AI is generating also a massive surge in computing demand. You know, the AI engines, LLM powered applications, inference workloads, these need fast, reliable, scalable infrastructure. They need hosting that can, you know, actually handle it. At Serval, we're definitely leaning into that hard. We're positioning ourselves as the infrastructure layer for AI native PHP and WordPress applications. So we're looking at MCP servers, which we are it's live now, but that's just the first layer. Everyone's, you know, doing MCP. So agent compatible APIs, the whole stack. We're going all the way down to infrastructure. And without me saying too much, I think we believe the next generation of web applications will be agent driven, and they need a platform built for that. So I think, you know, my view is simple. AI will kill the average, and it will accelerate the excellent. So if you're genuinely good at what you do, I think that there's more opportunity coming forward than ever before.
Yeah, I thought it would mean. With your own company, am I correct? How important is North America? Because you seem to be established in the Nordic countries and Europe. I can't actually remember how you came on my radar, actually. But I went to the website, talked to a couple of people, I approached you through LinkedIn, and you seem to have an interesting setup. So you're established in the Nordic and Europe, but how important is North America to how you see the company growing, basically? And am I correct that you get most of your through recommendation through agencies and that? Is that about right?
Yeah. You know, the company's 12 years old. Before I came in, I would say that the entire customer base has been built by word of mouth, actually, through agencies, enterprise, other customers, stuff like that. This, when I looked through their P&L from start till I came on board in 25, like very little marketing. You know, you have some sales initiatives and stuff like that. And you come to, you know, from where I am right now, I'm at a WordCamp, Europe. You know, they've been to that kind of stuff and all that, and all that stuff. But I think North America for us, when I came in, I said, hey, you know, one of the first things I said, do we have a American company? That was no. We have that now, Serval Inc. And so North America is extremely important for us. And we have a bunch of massive customers in the US, which is household names you would know about. And it's getting more and more important because the growth we're seeing is coming from North America, and we're seeing extremely. I don't want to say extreme, but I want to say that the interest from enterprise, large e-commerce players is definitely, they're getting their eyes open, and you know, that's for us. I find that, you know, great because we love custom and we want to do custom for everyone. And these guys need custom. So yeah, honest, you know, very short answer for that. Yes, 100%. US, America, Canada, even in North America, is extremely important for us.
So what kind of relation, you've mentioned customization quite a few times in this conversation.
Yeah.
You're working with agencies, they have their own developers that they are talking to the client and they're doing, how does their developer resources work with what you're providing? How does that normally work generally?
In terms of
the boundaries between what you're providing and what the agency is providing, does that really? It might be a silly question because it might be those boundaries on a case by case scenario. Yeah.
Case by case, most likely, like we usually do, is that we handle everything on the infrastructure side. And they're more or less just, you know, ask us what they can do and what they cannot do. But we don't let people access our infrastructure at all. So we handle everything from that perspective. So more or less they just send us orders on Slack or whatever and said, hey, we want to do this. Sure. No problem. We'll handle it and done.
All right. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, I think it's time to kind of drive things home a little bit, Lasse. If we were to think back, you know, we used to ask about, you know, time machines and crazy things like that. But if we were
back to the future, yeah.
If we were to just look back and think like, you know, hockey, sports, injuries, business. I mean, for you personally, what's kind of like your biggest business or personal challenge, and how would you credit overcoming that?
I can talk about hockey and you know that for hours, but you know the one that shaped me the most was actually building my own company from scratch. I don't talk about it much, but I kind of just I saw an opportunity in the market and I resigned from my high-paying banking job and just got started. So, you know, not joining anything that already existed, starting from zero. No customers, no brand, no playbook, nothing. So what people don't tell you about building a company is that, you know, the business challenges are actually the easy part with running. You know, the market fit, product, pricing, those are all like solvable problems that everyone, you know, can work around. The hard part is the psychological volatility, right? Because it's so up and down. It can, you know, you can be at the bottom at 9 a.m. and you're up at 3 p.m. right? So you know, the weeks where you generally don't know where you're going and how you're gonna make payroll, right? The moment where you're sitting in front of your front of your 62nd investor meeting, let's say that, because I counted, because I did go to 62 investor meetings before I got my first investment, and you're pitching the same energy with the same energy and conviction as meeting number one, right? Even though you have 3 months of runway left and the team is just, you know, 100% depending on you. Yeah. Taking home, you know, this run. And, you know, coming back to, you know, hockey, mindset, stuff like that, that's where character gets built or broken. So what kept me going was two things. First, the team. You know, I wanted a team. I wanted to, you know, have their backs. You know, when you've recruited people who left safe jobs to bet on your vision and what you wanted to achieve, you know, you don't get to quit.
Yeah.
Right? That's just, you know, that's just ego. So that responsibility is real. It kind of changes how you show up every single day. And second, I think, and it sounds simple, but it's not. I just never confused the hard period with a wrong direction. You know, volatility is not the same as failure. Every company worth building goes through periods where it looks like it's over from the outside. But you know, the discipline is knowing the difference between this is hard and this is wrong. But you know, we got through it. We raised capital, we scaled, we built teams in multiple countries. But I'll tell you that those 62 investor meetings, and that 3 month runway window taught me more about, you know, leadership than anything else in my my career. And I think that's where my, you know, me being the CEO now, that's where that got built, you know, through that. And I'm super thankful for, you know, the team and the people and everything, you know, people believing in both me and so many other things that, I think, you know, I'm super happy I went through that. It's at times it was proper shit, you know. You know, now I can look back and say, wow, you know, we made it. It was good fun and I want to do it again. So,
yeah, it's, you know, from an entrepreneur's standpoint, that getting through that valley, right? Cause we all go through a valley of some kind.
Yeah.
But you get through that valley and then things start to look good. And then the people that come on later, they're like, oh, he's so selfish. He's trying to keep the profits for himself. And it's like, hey, I don't remember you being in the valley.
Yeah.
I don't remember you leveraging your house to do this.
No, exactly. You weren't stuck in mud up to your neck trying to swim and get out from that mud. And it's like, you know, it's it's people tend to forget that, you know. It's like, you know, if you look at people that's been super successful and everyone's like, you know, oh my god, you know, this guy made so much money and and they're envious, right? But what they don't see is all the shit they've been through to get there, and it's never an easy ride. So, you know, it's and that's all due respect to everyone that starts on their own. You know, it's, you have my respect because I know how hard it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jonathan?
Well, I think that's a good place to end our conversation.
Jonathan's like, amen.
Well, I totally agree what you say, but this, if it had failed, you would have been, you know, it would have been personally painful, but you would have been able to go back into the banking industry, wouldn't you not? But it would have still been an extremely bitter pill to take, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, it's if you need to take that pill, you do that, right? It's just, it's the mindset of moving on. I'm always like that. It's if things don't work, fine, leave it. Let's go. We move on. I think, you know, if you're... I never, ever get discouraged by failure. It's everyone says, you know, you learn from it. Yeah, you do. But I never think about it afterwards. If it's done, you failed, fine, move on.
Right, yeah. What's the best way to find out more about you and what you're up to, Lissy?
Well, you know, I'm quite active on LinkedIn, or try to be at least. So, you know, reach out to me there and connect with me on LinkedIn. Or you can send me an email at lasse@serbal.com just get in touch.
That's fantastic. Hopefully you agree to come back on the show and we have another discussion. I've enjoyed it. So, Kurt, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
I'll be hanging out with Lasse over on LinkedIn. I'm the only Kurt Vanon in there. I'm easy to find. And then Mañana Nomás is the company name. So anything Mañana Nomás leads back to us.
And I want to say, if you want to find more interviews and anything around WordPress, best place is to go to the WP Tonic YouTube channel. Got a load of content on there. It's mostly all around WordPress. You'll find some value. And subscribe. That's another way you can support independent media. We'll be back next week with another fabulous interview. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.